Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Zach Snyder with me, and Zach is a freelance video editor, creative entrepreneur, and content creator. He has worked with dozens of entrepreneurs, creators, and businesses with their YouTube videos and social media content, all within entertainment, storytelling, focused approach that he uses. When he's not helping his clients, he's building Your Everyday Nerd, a nerd culture review show about film, video games, books, music, and more. Since 2011, Zach has created over 3,000 pieces of content across all major social media platforms in a variety of niches. In 2020, he was on the ground floor on Pat Flynn's Pokemon card channel, Deep Pocket Monster, which has gained 200,000 subscribers and 55 million views. I had to like reread that for a second. That's incredible.
It's crazy.
Thank you so much for being here today, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to dive into your journey because you are a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited to share you with everybody else as well, just all your expertise and experience. But if you could, in a nutshell, share your journey, how you got here today, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of just happened into the whole entrepreneur thing. I've always been a very creative person. And I started doing music back in like middle school. And as soon as I started playing the trumpet, I thought I was going to be a high school music teacher. That was kind of the path that I was going towards. So I went to college for music, and I had kind of gotten distracted because I have a lot of different interests in college. So I started studying Japanese. I started taking some different classes that kind of interested me. And in the meantime, when I was 16 in high school, I had started doing YouTube. And so slowly, as I was doing more and more YouTube in college, because I had a little bit more free time there, I was able to kind of get in touch with other entrepreneurs, figure out that video editing is something that I'm very passionate about as well. And I was able to finish up my 4 years of college. I didn't graduate. I decided to spend that time to kind of cultivate my interests and, you know, meet new people, all that kind of stuff. And by the time I got out of college, I started freelance video editing, and it's been a battle ever since, you know, but we're doing it day by day, and it's going well right now.
I mean, it sounds like you've had so many experiences too, just helping people create their content. You've been in a lot of different fields within the industry, I would say, but what has been just your journey in the sense of knowing, okay, you wanted to be a high school music teacher, and then switching gears and really focusing in on what you truly enjoyed? Because a lot of people might have gone through college and finished and thought, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. But you went outside the box. Like, you were working in the field before you even graduated college, even in high school. But what has been maybe that experience of, okay, I really want to do this. I really want to freelance. I really want to start to grow and help others as well.
I think the biggest thing that helped me was self-awareness. Yes. So it was knowing that there are a lot of goals that I have in life that I want to get towards. And in order to do that, I have to be able to be on my own schedule for it. I know that a lot of those goals and aspirations include money. And I knew that being an entrepreneur, freelancing, was one of the better ways to make more money. But then also, I have limitations. I deal with migraines on a regular basis. I deal with depression and anxiety and things that a lot of younger people are dealing with right now. And I knew that in a regular workforce, that was going to hinder me more than it was going to help me.
I
so that definitely played a part.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. Because a lot of people, the self-awareness piece, knowing what's going to be conducive to your learning style, your work ethic, all those factors. And, you know, there's such a stigma sometimes on mental health, and I feel like it's starting in the younger generations too, to be not mm-hmm. as stigmatized, because I'm a huge advocate for mental health, even though I don't practice anymore. I think it's so important to bring into conversations that you're not alone, and it's just figuring out what works for you. And there's no right or wrong way. You could go to school and pursue something and then change gears, but really realizing mm-hmm. what makes sense. And so I'm so glad you brought in the self-awareness piece too, because I think it's important to really know ourselves, know what works for us versus what's going to work for someone else, because it's not the same path. And very rarely is it the same path of what makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody is so different, and I'm still learning new things about me. Like, I think I have ADHD, and it's funny because it makes so much sense, because I've always had a lot of different interests. I got distracted easily as a kid. I was within the gifted and talented kids growing up. And then, you know, as I got into adulthood, certain basic things that I should have been able to do well and consistently, I would fall, you know, I would fail. And so what's really been, you know, awesome about the self-entrepreneurship journey is I'm able to figure those things out as I go, and there's room to fail and there's room to improve. And that stuff is very valuable to me.
Oh, yes. I think it's valuable even just talking about it too, to bring that awareness to others as well. Again, like not feeling alone, knowing that it's everybody's different and everyone has a different path, but really understanding, okay, this might be something that has hindered me in the past, but using it as your advantage too, of like
exactly
what works yeah. and having all the different interests and being able to be successful in different areas as well. So I'd love to dive into the video editing. Once you started doing that, what were maybe some roadblocks you experienced as you started to take on more clients or helping more individuals? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So it's always been like a kind of up and down kind of situation. So getting started into it, I was very lucky. I reached out to a lot of other entrepreneurs that had followed on social media, and I was able to get in touch with Roberto Blake back in 2017. And he is, you know, he's within the YouTube advice stuff on YouTube, and he does a lot of creative entrepreneurship videos for people. And I was able to get in touch with him and do like some free work for him. And he got me in touch with his Awesome Creator Academy group. And that was just such a gold mine early on when I had almost no experience and I was trying to find clients. Mm-hmm. I was able to do some free work. I was able to do some work at kind of a lower rated pay, but just getting my foot in the door, being introduced to so many people was one of the biggest things that helped me early on.
Oh. It's like who you surround yourself with, right? Just being able mm-hmm. to be that bold.
That networking thing.
That thing, that little thing.
Yeah. Makes yeah, such exactly. a big
difference. But how?
And it's constantly been like that. I mean, I know when Clubhouse dropped, that was when we had met each other.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't even have an Apple product at the time. So I went and got an iPod Pro. And I hopped on some Clubhouse things and I found a group and I was able to like pitch my video editing services, and that right there has gotten me some work.
Yeah.
So really, like you said, being bold and getting out in front of people is probably the biggest advantage that I see a lot of younger entrepreneurs not taking advantage of.
That's true, because even reaching out to somebody who was big on YouTube as well and just being like, hey, let me help you for free, but getting your foot in the door, like that is very bold, because I mean, the worst you can hear is no, or they don't respond.
Right. And I saw a lot of that too. I got way more no's than I've gotten yes, but eventually someone will answer.
That's true. I mean, I've experienced that as well. I think a lot of people have, but don't yeah. just take the no for as it's no right now sometimes, or it's always following
exactly.
up, right? But being able to have that foot in the door and being able to get that experience. So once you went through the Creator Academy and you started getting work and you started to grow and also working with just other content creators as well and other businesses, what was that shift like for you? How did that kind of evolve?
Right. It's always been a time management game. Mm-hmm. So there are some months where I take on way more work than I can handle. And I've lost clients by doing that. And I've also mm-hmm. maintained client relations doing that. And I found the best way, the most important thing is always communication. Mm-hmm. I think whenever you're falling behind on something, just sending a quick message and saying, hey, I'm still working on it. It's still in the process. But being on top of things like that, I think is very helpful.
Yes. And all the like learning experiences too, of like maybe losing a client or a client getting upset or frustrated, but being able to really learn from that. And now like being able to communicate very clearly, like, hey, like I haven't forgotten about you. You're still there. You're still a priority. Just life happens. And I think most people are very understanding as well, as long as you say it, but that's such a key element in entrepreneurship across the board. I'm sure communication has really helped you as well. Like just being able to reach out to different individuals, really helping creators as well, but communication with our messages, like communicating what we want to say, communicating like through video. How does that look? Just curious with communication and video, what is like the essence of like that bridging together the two?
So I think whenever I start with somebody brand new, it's always a little trial and error kind of situation. You know, they'll send me a video, I'll do my end of it, I'll bring in my creative aspects. And if they don't like something, then I have to go back and change it. And it's just kind of figuring out what the client likes and what the client doesn't like. And I find over time, I mean, I'll turn in videos and have no revisions sometimes. It'll be perfect, or it'll just be little mistakes that maybe I looked over because I was editing for 12 hours straight or something. But no, the communication when working with somebody on videos and any kind of creative project, I find is very important. But then also letting your intuition get in there, letting your creative juices flowing and bringing your image to the piece of the pie too, helps a lot, because sometimes the client doesn't know what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if they're not aware really what they're trying to put out there, or just being able not have been exposed to it. But I love the approach you take with entertainment and like storytelling. Because storytelling is so powerful, but how do you really utilize that with video?
It's all about bringing emotion into the video. And it doesn't matter if it's about tech or video games or mental health or sales videos. I've been working on a lot of sales videos recently. The emotion is really what plays the part in it. So finding the right B-roll that conveys happiness or sadness, putting in the music, adding layers of sound effects. And obviously, as I grow with my entrepreneur journey, I want to work more in depth with creating the story rather than just doing it in the edit, because I know if you can get in touch with the client before they even record the video and start scripting it in a certain way, the results will be that much higher. But it's really just about bringing in as many emotional responses as I can get within the video, and hopefully connecting to the person that's inevitably going to be watching it. If the client doesn't connect with it, but the audience does, that's good.
That's true. You know? I'm curious, because I know like some videos I'm like, oh, like I really like this. And then I'll be told like, we got to change this, or something needs to change. But it's like the delivery, right? Because sometimes like what we think is great, it might not connect. But I love that like, there's so many layers to it from what you're saying. He's like, I'm not a video editor, but people that might be on that journey similar to you, what is like the process? Like on average, I know it varies probably client to client, but average of like editing a video, all the work that goes into it, because there's a lot of work.
Yeah. So usually my first process is to get everything into Premiere Pro. I make sure everything's synced up. I go through all the footage. I got to know what's there before I can do anything. Yeah. And then from there onwards, it's some people storyboard. They'll have like images of what they want to do, and they'll script it out and all that kind of stuff. And I don't go super in depth on that, but I usually will have an idea, like a bullet pointed list of like, here are the key things I need to focus on. Here's what I plan on putting in the edit. And then I'll go straight to doing a rough edit. And so that just means getting rid of everything I'm never going to use. So dead air, flubs, anything like that. At that point, I can start bringing in all of the outside material, B-roll, sound effects, music, all of those kind of elements that really make the video alive. And then after all the major creative parts are done, then it's the kind of meticulous, like, okay, let's just get it done kind of thing.
It's like time to just
spend a lot of time doing that. Yeah.
I believe that. And I'm sure it can sometimes take hours, it seems like, from what I've heard, but I don't know. I want to hear it from you.
It depends on the type of video. I spent probably 80 hours on a 30-minute sales video not that long ago. So that was a lot of work. It was probably more just from looking up the B-roll, but for a typical Deep Pocket Monster Pat Flynn video, it could take me 5 to 10 hours to get one of those videos done. So it depends on the length and the depth of the project and how much the client is giving me to begin with, because for some of those sales videos, I usually just get the voiceover. And so I have to put everything in the video.
I believe that. It's just like, I looked at it once. I have a friend that was like, it's in the industry as well. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, because it's just not highlighted to how much work it takes for, even if it's just a few minute video versus 30 minutes versus like all the things that go into it. So that's why I'm so glad we're highlighting too, like the depth of it. And it's not just like, oh, can you edit this video? It's like, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And I think it's fascinating as well, especially with like YouTube videos, because I know you have your own channel as well. I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about your channel too.
Yeah, sure. So back in 2018, I started Your Everyday Nerd, which is, it was originally going to be a daily show, but I cannot handle a daily show right now. So my main focus right now is kind of making some highly produced, almost documentary type videos, but having some humor and some comedy aspects thrown in. So last year I made a video on the golden age of Disney, where I talked about like the first five or six Disney movies. And it was a documentary almost. I talked about like how they got from zero to those movies. Those videos also end up taking a lot more time because I'm doing the research, I'm watching the films, and, you know, trying to do the analysis, I'm scripting it. So my own content usually will take longer than some client projects. So I don't get to work on it as much as I would like to right now. But,
there's like you said, a lot of work goes into it, but it's also like something, it seems like you're so passionate about it as well. Sometimes, you know, you want it a certain way, or like, especially because it's like your like baby, basically, you know,
definitely more creatively in control of everything. So I want to make sure everything is good instead of just the editing, right?
Absolutely. And with YouTube, because you have worked on so many different platforms within YouTube, like just different clients and things like that. What has been your experience of helping people grow their channels and just really being able with video in particular?
Right. So I think right now video is the number one way to grow any kind of audience online, you know, whether it's YouTube or TikTok or LinkedIn. I've seen a lot of people grow a pretty sustaining audience, even just regular entrepreneurs who are doing a job like, maybe they sell vacuums, you know, maybe they bake, maybe they, you know, have some kind of artistic, creative job. It's every single industry that I've worked in, I've always seen like, there's always those number one people that you're going to see, you know, top the charts on YouTube or Twitch or LinkedIn or whatever it may be. And so I encourage anybody watching this that hasn't started a YouTube channel to do it. I mean, I think it's always going to be slow moving towards the beginning, but once you kind of get your feet wet and you understand the trends and, you know, the topics that really work in your niche, then you're going to be able to go pretty far with it.
Well, if everyone's listening, make sure you get a YouTube channel. Bottom line. But what has been maybe one or two success stories of clients you've worked with that you've really seen them grow and just expand based off of all the video editing that you've done, but also the creativity aspect and content as well?
Yeah, I think Digipak and Monster is the biggest success story I have currently. Pat Flynn has been on YouTube for about 10 years now, and he's has his own kind of side hustles, and he's done pretty well as an entrepreneur himself, but he wanted to dig into one of his hobbies, which is Pokemon. And I think a lot of people at that point of their entrepreneurship game, they want to start digging back into the things that really, really interest them, their hobbies and everything. And so it was really cool to kind of see him network with a lot of other Pokemon related YouTube channels and get in live streams and kind of connect with this audience before he even made the channel. So that was really beneficial. But then also I was able to come in with my friend Dan, who brought me on, and we both edited a lot of the content on there. And it's been really cool to kind of see, like, you know, we put out a video, we check how the comments respond, we see like what works, what doesn't. We go into the YouTube algorithm, we look into the analytics and everything. We're piecing together, you know, did this thumbnail work? Did this title work? Did this idea even work? I remember we worked on a documentary type video early on, where we highlighted this really cool postal stamp, like collaboration. It was like the Japan Postal Service with Pokemon. And it was a really cool video. I loved working on it, but it didn't do as well. So we had to kind of look back into the ideas and say, okay, well, which ones are actually going to work? Mm-hmm. And it's been a really interesting experience kind of evolving into what we have now, which has been over, you know, almost 250,000 subscribers in less than 2 years, which is just incredible to be a part of. But it's been very interesting.
I believe it. And, you know, it's so interesting too, that you say also like looking at the analytics, looking at all the aspects of like what's not working, and that can be applied to anything we're doing as well, of mm-hmm. something might not work. It doesn't mean we failed at it. It's just not what is being received. And how can you tweak it? How can you change it? And knowing that it's not the end all be all if something doesn't work, but keep going. And that's what like I'm hearing from you too. Absolutely. It's like keep trying, trial and error. It happens all the time, but no one's immune to like it happening perfectly the first time. Like, I mean, I don't know any entrepreneur that like the first thing they did and it just like blew up.
Exactly. I started video when I was 16, making really bad music covers in a band room at my high school. I couldn't really record at home because of my home life, but I would go into the band room at school and I would record these really bad music videos. And I think they maybe got like, you know, 12 views or whatever. And eventually I would do gaming videos. And then I would finally find my way into more scripted, you know, higher produced content. And it's all trial and error, all of it. I feel like that's kind of the motto for entrepreneurship is, you know, work until something works right.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I'm like a recovering perfectionist. So in the beginning, my journey was really hard.
I get that.
But I know like a lot of people struggle with that, but it's just realizing too, everybody starts somewhere and you started at 16, but look at all you've accomplished now and all the knowledge you have to apply it. And even with all that knowledge, based off the clientele you work with or a situation or anything, it could shift and change, but it's being really Absolutely. Flexible. And it seems like you're very flexible as well in that regard.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm still at the point in my journey where I feel like I'm still starting. Like it's still the very beginning. I think there's still so much, you know, for me to do it for clients, but then also I want to do more of my own creative projects. I have my channel, Your Everyday Nerd, and I'd love to run that full time and have, you know, that be the money maker, but it's being flexible. It's the trial and error. And it's just keep on going because eventually things will work. That's a life philosophy that I have.
I think it's a good one, important one. And what so going back to like when you started your journey till now, what are maybe two or three things you wish you would have known that you know now, like that you knew in the beginning or you wish you knew in the beginning?
I think my college years were really interesting because I did go in expecting to be a music teacher when I walked out. That was kind of the full intentions.
Yeah.
But then halfway through my junior year was when I kind of decided I'm not going to graduate. I'm going to spend this time however I want and work on getting clients in the meantime. And I kind of wished I'd went into college with that mindset because I think I would have been able to get even more out of it. Since I used to want to be a teacher, I have a lot of insight on like the educational system. And so, you know, I have all my opinions about it, but I think it's so valuable to have those 4 years in college and to meet a lot of people, try a lot of interesting things. And I did that, but I wished I'd been able to do more. I think that's one of the earlier things. Yeah. That I would have changed.
And it's perspective, right? Like when we know a few things, if we knew that in the beginning, it would have maybe been a little bit different, but things seem to be turning out pretty well as well.
No, absolutely. And I think the other thing is to not be as hard on myself. I used to be a very big perfectionist and I grew up in poverty. So I always was, you know, striving like, you know, finish high school, go to college, get a degree, get a high paying job, help the parents, help the family.
Yeah.
And so when things didn't work out exactly like I thought they were going to, and when things kind of evolved and changed over time, I had to learn that, okay, some things that used to be super important to me don't matter as much now. And that's okay. We change.
Yeah.
And so to not be as hard on myself if I do make a mistake or if I do fail, because I used to get all A's and B's, you know, when I was very young. And then I'd go to high school and I'd get more interested in music and video. And then all of a sudden my grades started to slip a little bit. So that was definitely, I had a lot of stress-induced migraines. I deal with migraines, but I had a lot of stress-induced migraines growing up. So that would have been, you know, a lot less frequent if I hadn't been as hard on myself.
I believe that it can, we can be our own worst critics sometimes. And sometimes it's good to be a little bit more focused on what we want to do, but also it's not being so hard on ourselves where it reduces our ability to move forward and do the things that we want to do as well and keep us motivated. But I'm curious, I thought of this, it just popped in my head. What about video editing really just lights you up? Like, what is your favorite part of what you do?
I mean, it's seeing everything come together. I think that's my favorite thing, especially when I'm working on like a personal project, knowing that I have all these ideas that I want to get done. And then like, you know, I'm writing them into the script and then eventually I film them and new ideas get brought in. And then finally, when I'm at the editing table, I'm able to really bring everything together and watching that first edit back and be like, cool, we're getting somewhere. That's really nice.
Yes. No, that's what it's about, right? Like it's just seeing everything come together is so beautiful, and like all the hard work and all the hours of editing too. Definitely. I'm sure like my eyes would be so tired looking for all those little things. But oh my gosh, I've been enjoying this conversation so much, Zach, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Let's do it.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
My parents. I'd say both of my parents. My dad has always had health issues, so he stayed at home and, you know, took care of me and my younger siblings growing up. And my mom's always worked. I mean, she was the one that kept the food on the table. And to this day, I don't understand, you know, how difficult they have it and yet how hard they're able to persevere through that. I feel like I have a pretty big work ethic, but it blows my mind at how hard my mom's able to work and how my dad is able to deal with all the health issues that he has.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's being able to see that model to you of how work ethic can be and applying it in your way as well.
Definitely.
Well, your mom sounds like a phenomenal woman and your dad as well. Man. Yeah. And what motivates you to work smarter?
Time. So I have a complicated relationship with time. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I hate it. But just knowing that there's only so much, you know, there's so much that I want to do. If I don't have, you know, if I don't work smart enough, then I'm not going to be able to make it up. So that's very important to me.
It makes sense. Time and I have a complicated relationship too sometimes.
I think most entrepreneurs do.
We just want to do so many things.
Yeah.
So if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Probably to control time. I think that's a pretty big, to bring it back to that. Just make things easier.
Yeah. It would. So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
So I think about this every once in a while, because it always changes. I've got so many different kind of, you know, interests and stuff. But I think Miles Davis has always been number one because I used to play, I still play the trumpet and he's one of my favorite jazz musicians. I think Kendrick Lamar is one of my favorite artists now. Mm-hmm. Very influential, very interesting person. And then probably going to go with like a couple of filmmakers. Charlie Kaufman makes some of the most wild and interesting films I've ever seen. They're always confusing and bizarre and I find that fascinating. I'd love to have a talk with him. And then David Fincher is another movie director that I really like. I think he'd just be a cool person to talk to.
Yeah, I feel like you would learn a lot and get some perspectives there. Good individuals. And what is the last book that you've read or listened to?
The last book I read was The Stranger by Albert Camus. It was a book that I read in high school. I've been rereading some of those books that I really liked in high school because there was a period of like the last 4 years where I didn't really have a whole lot of time to read. Yeah. So I've been getting back into it. Really interesting book about existential philosophy and kind of this idea that nothing matters, but make it matter. I find that very interesting.
Sounds like a good read. I haven't read that one, but it sounds good.
It's pretty good.
And if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I'm gonna have to go with Brad Pitt. I think that's just a very good answer.
We'll yeah, just go with that one. There you go. He's a great actor, you know.
He kills in every movie.
He does. He does. Can't take that away from him. And if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
I always liked the lion. I think the lion has always been my favorite answer for anything like this. I mean, I'm a quick decision maker. I'm very, I can work with groups really well, but I'm also very much a loner. I like to do a lot of things myself. And I'm super protective. I think that's another kind of ideal there. Very protective of my family and, friends.
That's a lion for you. Yeah. And you got that personality. And what is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you are not editing everybody's videos and writing content right. and doing all the work on the back end, what are you doing for fun and how do you like to spend your day?
This has been a struggle for me because over the last few years, it's been, if I have a free day, it's work on my own content, but I'm trying to keep that separate from life. So I think I almost value unplugging more these days, getting away from the computer, taking a walk outside, reading a book, doing anything I can to get away from the busyness of everything that's going on right now.
I think that's super important when it comes to self-care and just recharging our mind and our bodies. It's nature, being outside, just getting some fresh air and not being on the computer as much because it takes a toll on our minds and bodies. But I'm glad you're doing that and have time for it now. And
yeah.
And what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I think video content is difficult, but I don't think it's as hard as some people make it out to be. I think that anybody and everybody could literally start a YouTube channel today or a TikTok page or make video on LinkedIn or, whatever. I think it's just as simple as be passionate about a thing and then talk about the thing. And eventually you can figure out everything else from there. It'll take time, but you'll get there.
Oh, that was good. That resonated. Yeah. I'm sure it resonated with a lot of people too. But Zach, thank you so much for coming on today. Where can people find you, hire you, get your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can email me at ZachSnyderProductions@gmail.com. I'm also Zach Snyder Prod on Instagram. That's a great place to reach out to me. And then my YouTube channel, Your Everyday Nerd. I'd love for you to check it out. If you're interested in any kind of video games, film, books, music, any of that, go check that out.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Zach, for sharing all your wisdom today, everything around video. I know it's so important, but all the things you're doing on the back end too. So people can really see the work and the amount of work that goes into really creating the productions that you do. But thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yes, it was. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Zach? I'm sure he would love to read your comment as well. I know I would love to see it too. And we will see you on the next video.